But in this day and age, we're enlightened enough to allow bestiality.
The Sunday Skypers.
And we should probably be slate-centric first, since Ari's got a limited time.
So I've been debating about this, about my rewriting of mine. Does Ufkill vow revenge on the evil spirit?
Well, it's in a brewery. I don't know what you would want to do. It's your priority, right?
Evil elf spirit thing killed one of my apprentices, severely wounded one of them, and killed Scully, and it's still in that brewery.
And you lost a really nice hammer.
Axe. Mm-hmm. I lost Oathbreaker. Or, you know, not Oathbreaker, a Traitor Breaker.
Wow, that seems pretty motivating to go back in and burn.
Well, no, but this time I have to convince the prince. Actually, you know, I need to talk to the hippy dippy dwarf, because he probably does magic. I think I will do that. I hate to say it, but this is going to be top of Oofkill's mind.
Solve Fandral's ghost problem. That'll be interesting to see how that works out. I think we can hold on to that.
Interesting. Fandral, you bumped the belief about helping Oofkill with the breweries.
There seem to be other more urgent...
Yes. So, if we go to Slate, what do you remember and what are you interested in pursuing?
He still has to pursue that blackmail on Roar.
To be clear, you don't have to. It just means I get to award greed tests to you for not taking the risk. It's kind of like having, for a dwarf that craves power, it's kind of like having a golden ticket in your hand and not using it. Because you might burn your hand if you or something. Bad analogy, but you know. But I mean, there's a pretty badly burnt dwarf just carted into camp, and I believe you have just returned yourself.
Yeah, I just returned.
Yeah, but was it Ty or Frumi, or who did you go with?
Ty, I believe. Mm.
I think I said you ran into the remaining scouts, like on your way back, because. For some reason, I was manically determined to get you all into Scoria ASAP. But I should stop doing that and just let your beliefs determine.
Well, it's like herding dwarves. You know, it's all very difficult.
Well, if you don't want to go into Scoria now, I can't very well force you. That's not how this game works.
Well, but you keep introducing other stuff that we got to go take care of.
Well, you don't got to take care of it, but apparently you do. I mean...
We should have just killed Tor, and then we wouldn't have to worry about him.
Maybe we could all help Slade out with belief writing. Assuming this is something you want to pursue, right? Taking care of the burnt dwarf, using the blackmail stuff. I don't know, you could have completely different priorities personally, and I shouldn't dictate that.
No, you're actually right. I don't have completely different priorities. My current priority is to, well, essentially do my job and then work on using that little bit of power that I got.
In that case, maybe the party would rescore it in one piece. You could add something like a treat or save for the burned dwarf.
We'll just call him Smokey.
Well, that's one new belief down. I haven't done much with stone bones lately.
No, but I think the blackmail, you got it by way of protecting his secrets, I think. You didn't really get a payoff because Fandral got Roar to spill the beans on what he'd been doing. So his whole play with getting the stone from Fandral was kind of, it was thwarted. But you still have the stuff and you can still... squeeze him.
So my other belief should be use the blackmail on Horde to buy his loyalty?
If you want his loyalty.
I kind of want the chance to say, okay, you know, I know that you know that I know these things, but I don't want you talking, and I'm going to prove to you beyond just the blackmail that you really don't need to be talking, because I'm good for it sort of thing. I'm good for the party, and blabbing on me and stone bones isn't going to get you anywhere fast.
That sounds more like you want to persuade him that you're, you know, useful.
Kind of, yeah.
And if that's what you want to do rather than blackmailing him, or both, I don't know.
Kind of both, but yeah. So I'll just have, for now, I'll have persuade.
Do you think it's likely that he'll like you if you blackmail him and would want you? in the expedition.
I'm just going to kind of tuck that bit of information under my cap, so to speak.
Are you? Okay.
So I'm going to persuade Froar to like slash trust me.
Oh, not Froar. Roar. I know the names are sort of similar, but...
Okay, so those are my two new beliefs.
Okay, but that gives you two beliefs. That's excellent. Okay. And Flint has what?
Well, let's see. We have our perennial dig up information on the Gutterdam family. We have help solve Fandral's ghost problem, since that's recently come up. And we still have open the secret doors to Scoria Deep.
Well, that all seems germane to the situation and immediate. So,
yay, I'm germane.
And don't forget, you also got another family ring and another mystery that happened someplace else. Opal clan attacking, at least the Opal brewers attacking your ancient relatives,
or vice versa. Who knows?
Well, all the details of that story have not been revealed to Flint yet.
No, I told you that. Yeah, of course he was going.
You told me while you were blathering, and there was a smoking dwarf at your feet.
Right. John, you revised the bottom belief.
I will get revenge for the death of my apprentices at the hand of that evil spirit.
How are you going to get revenge on an evil spirit when you can't touch her? Is beyond.
I will find those who could possibly help me, like the hippy dippy dwarf.
Smoldering, smoky dwarf survivor in a cart. The expedition camp is somewhat abuzz with this crazy news of fire spirits or something. No one is quite sure. Ulfkell is raving and weeping, I guess.
Well, I think that he gets all weeped out now. He's just sitting by, who's alive again? Froar? You're sitting by Froar's and his cot and just sitting there. Completely quiet. Not saying a damn thing, just sort of with this really morose look on his face.
I'm tempted to make this horrible, stone bones coming over. It's like, look here, Slate, this is a textbook example of a burn.
Slate's going to be like, yeah, I know, shut up.
And just hear. That's it. Just a sigh.
I think probably a bunch of the other brewers are standing around with their caps and helmets and whatnot in their hands, somewhat in the same mood, while the rest of them are working double time to make sure that you are not falling behind on your brewing.
Mm-hmm.
Brewing.
Well, at this point, I think Rory's probably dreading everything at this point.
Oh, yeah. He's riding around like a crazy person.
Okay, so what's the prognosis to this guy, burning dwarf in a cart?
All right,
who I'm never going to remember the name of, so I'm just going to take Todd's advice to call him Smokey.
I'm sure that'd go over well with...
Obviously, I'm not going to call him Smokey to his face.
What? We are a military company, and military mindset is everyone eventually gets a nickname, and it's usually not based upon your most appealing attribute.
So, I mean, he's obviously 40%, 50% burns right now.
Yeah, pretty much half and half. He's pretty well scorched. And, you know, it's ugly and bubbly and pussy and black and sooty. And he needs all kinds of attention. And I think it's going to take more than one surgeon to do it to help him. Stonebones is like, well, why don't you take a point on this one and I'll help you. We'll see how it goes.
Obviously, I'm probably going to start by wrapping the burns because they need to be debrided and wrapped and all sorts of disgusting things.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure how to treat burns except that. So whatever you do, whatever stuff you apply, if you apply anything, would be within the abstraction of a test.
That I can't. Okay, B5.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Oh, I am encouraging. Soothing platitudes, I suppose. I could... Can I fork that in or no?
I think he's unconscious.
It's not as good as it looks,
son. Oh, come on, just a little bit of a tiny fork, like a cocktail fork.
Well, this is where you bring in, like, Flint, who has first aid, or maybe your mentor, who may actually have some suitable skills.
I don't know his stats, though.
He can lend you two surgeon chirurgeon dice. Absolutely, no worries.
Okay, so... So I encourage you to, what's my,
Oh, here you go. You can fork in herbalism, field dressing, bloodletting, and apothecary.
Most of that I don't have. Herbalism I have.
Okay, you could probably.
I guess I have an infection wise, but.
Well, just well, you burn. Seems appropriate.
So I can fork in herbalism. Do I want to, though?
Traumatic wounds or severe wounds?
That would be a severe wound. If you're using chirurgy, that would be an orb, looks like, 4.
Well, I want to do a really good job, so I couldn't fork in anatomy, could I?
If you were setting bones, I'd say yes. But this is surface stuff, so...
Well, I do have herbalism, and infection-wise, I can fork in.
Absolutely, and you get 2 dice from your mentor. Stone Bones is, of course, standing there, you know, stroking his beard, considering everything you do.
Just clear up a rule for me, would you?
Yes.
Forking in doesn't use the entire dice, you just use 1, right?
Depends on the number of the stat number on the skill. So
herbalism,
if it's 5 or above, 3.
No,
okay.
Below.
In that case it's 1 die.
Yeah, so Stonebone's stand there and Ufkel's sitting right across from you on the other side of the cot. Before you can start, Ufkel reaches out and puts his hand on your shoulder and says, "Take care of him, please."
I'll do my best.
Is Ufkel helping with in some way?
That would be nice.
I don't know how Ufkel can help, because...
Hold him down, because he's probably going to jerk.
I was just thinking, is there a way you could fork something in, or help?
Do you have first aid?
No.
I was just thinking something in the vein of course persuasion, since...
Yeah.
Hand on Slate's shoulder, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I guess I can help then. I'll throw in a little coarse persuasion, you know. You guys save him, Slate.
Okay, so
that's a challenging test for you then, old Kel. And you get to give Slate another die. So is that 10?
It'd be 10d6, yeah.
Wow, okay.
1, 2, you can explode that 6.
1, 2, 3, four so far.
Yeah, I'll explode the 6. Oh, really? Okay, well, that's
nothing. But that's at least a fate point spent for chirurgy.
All right.
And it should be a difficult test.
Now I have 0 fate points. Fantastic.
You learn some of them back some way, surely. You have 4 successes and the obstacle was 4. So you, with everyone's help, successfully bind and treat Froar's wounds, so he now has a fighting chance to recover.
I still haven't saved him, though, so I don't get to cross that out yet.
Maybe I should test. I should test his. See how it goes for him, just for fun. So that would
fun
be
for who?
For me, mostly. But I mean, on the other hand, I think that's a
that's
bit,
what counts.
I think that's a bit shitty, though, because your intent was to save him, right?
Yes.
I don't want to step on that and just, you know, yank the rug out of your under your feet and go, ha, you succeeded, but you failed. So I'm going to say you stabilize him. No worries.
Okay.
And while he's not back to, he's not conscious, he's going to be back to, you know, grumbling and his usual self in, like, a day or so.
Now,
still burned, still hurt, but he's going to live.
Now, was
okay,
he...
So, set up.
I'm sorry, I was just trying to remember if he was the one who actually got hit by the curse, or was it kind of... It was kind of the guy hit by...
Nope. This is... Froar was the one who took the chalice.
I sort of lean over and say, you may want to restrain him just in case.
I'm not going to restrain him now.
Well, if he wakes up and gets up and starts running down the tunnels, it's up to you to catch him.
Unless you see him first.
Yeah, of course, turns around, sees the apprentices behind him. What are you doing there? Get back to work!
They all scurry around and just sort of jump out of their skin, almost, and get back to work. Stomos, though, looks to you and says, so what was that raving before? You were screaming about ghosts and other nonsense. I thought he was burned. What happened?
Yeah, there's some evil elf spirit living in the Opal Brewery, or at least one of the Opal Breweries. And it has this, I don't know if it's attached to this cursed chalice or what, but it
why do you want us to tie him down?
Because he picked up the cursed chalice and was enamored by it. Ensorcelled, or whatever you want to call it. He may want to go back and get it.
He looks a bit... disturbed. It's not like he hasn't heard or seen this before. So he nods to Slate and goes, perhaps you should take the, those human silk bits we paid for in Marl, and maybe just secure him to the side of the wagon.
All right, I guess I'm going to go do that.
Wouldn't want him to get up and rip his bandages off or something.
He probably looks a little bit like a mummy right now.
Awesome. So in the
mummy
of the
dwarf.
Night,
yeah. Mummy dwarf.
I don't think he's going anywhere.
I don't want him going anywhere at all. Of course, I should talk because Ulfkill's probably got bandages across his face and on his hands and so forth. So yeah, I'm not grabbing a paddle and stirring anytime soon myself.
All right, good point. Did we treat you? Did we?
Yes, you did. Yeah, you did. I got treated, and technically I'm healthy, but I'm all bandaged up. Thank you, doctor. You know, he gives him both a great, you know, pat on the shoulder, and he stops and looks and goes, ah, and grabs a hold of you and gives you a hug.
Aww.
they go and turns to Stone Bones, and Stone Bones holds out a cane, holds out something, says, you know, shake the hand.
I don't mind a hug. I'm probably too busy to even realize I'm getting hugged.
Now I gotta talk to our prince. Stomp away. But I'll leave it. You know, if you got any more scene here for Slate, we can finish that off here before we. I beard the prince in his lair.
Beard the prince. Oh dear. Okay.
I don't think you'll survive that.
It depends a little on whether Slate wants to confer maybe with Stone Bones about anything before he goes to mess with Roar. If he's messing with Roar, I'm not sure. Otherwise,
yeah, I think I'm gonna go talk to Roar.
All right, but that would be a different scene then. All right, I guess the prince and Flint and the rest of the axe bearers and scouts. You've all returned. The scouts, the ones who had been deprived and tortured, they're being seen to by their fellows. Their wounds weren't that bad, except, of course, for the dwarf who was severely tortured. But they're, you know, getting back up to... they're eating, they're filled and drinking and getting back to health. Where and what would Flint and Fandral be doing now that you've returned? You have, of course, the surfacer dwarf with you. Unless you sent him somewhere.
Fandral would be talking to him about, well, looks like you may get a chance to demonstrate any possible skills you can have against these vengeful spirits.
Oh, so suddenly, that may be tricky. I may need to gather some resources before that could be done. But I am, of course, at the expedition service.
What resources do you need?
Oh, I would not worry you or attempt to bore you with the minutiae of this human-inspired craft. It is really very trite. I would need to go into the tunnels. And I realize this may be a little hard or a little bit of a test of trust, but I would need to go alone.
Flint holds up a finger, says, before you go, says, we need to sit and have a little discussion, because I think I can give you some information about this problem that will really help you towards solving it. I happen to know these locations rather well. I was with the prince when we ran into some of this trouble. Right. If you don't mind, sir, I would like to...
We haven't been to this brewery. When were you at this brewery, Flint?
Oh, no, not that brewery. I was referring to
the vengeful
other...
spirit. We're going to go...
Oh, there's more than one vengeful spirit. I think they're somehow related.
This one is our current problem. If we can get rid of it, then maybe we'll worry about the other.
Of course, this is all going on before Ulfkill even shows up, so this is going to be interesting.
Well, the rumor precedes him.
Well, I pretty much told Flint this, and I probably in earshot of the prince.
You told us when you stumbled into camp, you told us all this.
If the prince wants to deal with the other ghost later, we can do that. I just wanted to put it on the table.
Hasn't been troubling us recently. It's behind us, so...
I still see him in my sleep, though.
Okay, is that just a general mention, or are you suggesting that you've told anyone else but Bruno about the dream?
It is an off-the-cuff, not necessarily revealing anything specific about a dream, more making it sound like I have nightmares about that experience.
All right. Excellent.
That's how I was taking it, yes.
So, taken well.
Well, says Thorir, the surfacer dwarf, if you don't have any other interesting or germane information, then if the prince wishes this done expediently, I could go right away.
Certainly. You may want to talk to Ulfkell since he was there. Maybe he'll have some further information for you.
Which is probably when Ulfkell comes stalking in. Drama the magic.
Ah, just the dwarf we were looking for.
Good news. Our surgeons were able to make Frost stable. They are restraining him because he is under this curse.
Oh, even more of a reason to deal with this spirit.
Yes, there's some sort of... I don't know if the spirit... Or if it's a spirit chained to a chalice. There was this golden chalice, which I couldn't cleave in two with an axe. So I think it's the cursed object. And if we could destroy it, we might actually be able to free my man from the curse. And maybe even destroy or whatever the spirit.
The strange sort of painted tattooed individual presents himself to you and says, "We have not been introduced. I'm Torir," and he reaches forth a grubby painted arm.
Dear God, this is like, you know, a hippie showing up in the South. Because it sort of looks him up and down, and then does it once more again, turns his head to the side a little bit, then thinks it's mighty neighborly of himself. He puts his hand out gingerly and shakes his hand. Hello.
I have been charged by the prince to aid you with this spirit problem. A wizard? No.
Sorcerer?
I have some craft.
A witch? a rune caster?
Oh, I only scratch them. Labels are not important. I'm only interested in helping.
I don't know if anyone's heard of this chalice. And I'll try to describe the chalice as best. Well, it's probably burned into his memory.
Above the burning visage of Froar, laughing madly.
Yeah, I describe the chalice as best I can and what it looked like. I don't know if anyone knows of it or is there any lore about it or anything like that. But, I do my best to describe it. I mean, I hit it with my axe and all it did was dent a little bit. It should have been cleaved in two.
Can I do an ancient history check to...
That is an example. Stuff-wise might also work.
I'll fork in some clan history, if that'll help.
That could work, too.
Especially if it turns out Opal Breweries, their symbol is a chalice. One never knows.
Let's have the prince test, and maybe Flint can help.
Have a die.
And this could be like a graduate test, or...
Yeah, no, let's make it a 3 to identify reliably this chalice.
As opposed to pulling something out of his arse. Not that the prince has ever done that before.
Of course, if you fail, your assertions might be erroneous or half right.
That sounds fun. So we'll just go with the 5 die then.
All right.
And, oh, 3.
Huzzah!
Well, okay, so I'm going to say a few things, and if you feel like modifying it or adding to it, that's fine. Either one of you, since you're both helping, or you're both testing. By the by, that was a...
routine.
Yes, yeah, for both of you, I guess.
Routine is good. We need more of those.
So from what you remember, sometimes these ritual chalices would be exchanged as sometimes wedding gifts, sometimes tokens of good faith between clans. And the one Ulfkell is describing sounds like an opal chalice that was famously given to them by an elvish envoy.
Mm.
That would explain the elvish spirit. Somewhere along the line, she got really peeved at the opals.
Can you imagine why?
The elves seem to have a lot of bad blood with our ancestors. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, how much have we gotten from Ulfkell here on how it reacted to different clan symbols?
All right. Did you say anything about how the spirit acted?
Oh, yes. When I held up the opal, I actually found an amulet, necklace with the opal's clan sigil on, and she reacted sort of favorably to that. But then I showed the ring, and I point to one of the rings. Are you wearing one of the rings?
Of course.
I showed her the one that or the or its mate, and oh, she just went livid.
Flint kind of like puts his hand over the ring. Really?
I tried to set some sort of. I don't know anything about magic, so I tried to make some sort of protection and didn't work.
You have some mountain folk magic? Asks the surfacer dwarf.
No.
Vandal laughs. Only in brewing.
Well, that's what I wrote down. I wrote down the various, you know, I scratched with some charcoal onto a metal ray, onto a barrel hoop, some scrolls of the goddess of brewing. Maybe, you know, we're in a brewery, finding a spirit in a brewery, you know, it might work. It didn't. I rubbed my face with the bandages.
Could I perhaps have a look at this necklace you spoke of?
Ah, there's a problem. I threw it at the spirit.
You throw everything away.
She reacted to it, so I thought maybe, you know.
So you thought you could banish her with a piece of jewelry.
The surface of dwarf is looking at Vandra like, obviously you need my help.
You know, the place was on fire. Anything wet was on fire. She made the wet wood burn. I was on fire, all right? More than once. So I was probably not thinking with me best thinking.
I'll give you a pass on that.
You know what? Torir, the surface dwarf, he flicks you on the forehead and says, that is an understatement.
Oh, I have to make her. Do I have to make a roll? Maybe she's just punching him in the face right now.
You don't have to roll anything. If you want to punch him, you can punch him.
No, I very carefully just, you know, reach over and grab him by the nose and give it a twist. You don't do that.
I think that falls under impulsiveness.
I let go.
He looks like he's about to react, but then it's like he realizes he's in the company of the prince and the expedition, which he needs to earn money from.
And basically all Ufkel's friends.
Yeah. Schools his features. And yes.
A little nose tweak. It builds character.
Yeah.
I try to describe her the best I can.
Pretty, smelled of nog. I'm sure that's what you remember.
Yeah, she's pretty, she was a pretty elven thing. She smelt of nog. Oh, a delicious nog. Oh, yes. Hey, I have to go with my... Remember, I'm a nog thief, you know?
Yes, but you managed to resist her charms.
Things in my will. To be honest, I don't remember what she said, so it's going to be interesting what he's trying to remember what she said.
In broad terms, she first invited you to drink from the chalice, and when you wouldn't... when you rebuked her, she turned into the fire aspect, right? And started going after all of you.
And she says, like, when I showed her the ring, it was something like, how dare you, or how could you?
All right.
Something like that. Worse to that effect. Like, it was even worse than when I damned her initially for trying to trick me into drinking from the chalice. No one drank from the chalice. Trust me on that.
Ufkel refusing a drink. Must have been serious.
I think Sigibert sniggers and then resumes voice.
I haven't had a drink since last night. I think I'm sober.
Is this what sober feels like?
The clarity of thought.
The feeling of having your skin peel away slowly.
DT.
That's burns.
Do you feel like you've relayed as much information as you can?
Yeah, I think I have, from what I remember. So, yes, but then he turns and says, but we have to go there. We have to destroy this thing and recover the bones and or whatever is left of Skoli and Kaim. They must have a proper burial.
Well, I hope this has been useful information for your magic.
I sort of lean over in a stage.
Craft. My craft, my liege, he says. And I would like to see this burned dwarf survivor, if that were possible.
Well, they were strapping him down onto the cart, so he couldn't get up and run away if he woke up.
All right, then. By your leave, I shall go and...
Oh, no, you're not going away. We're all going with you. It'd be good for the prince to comfort his his company, I guess, even though he's unconscious.
Oh, I do wish to remind you, in preparation for this, I will need to be alone. But I could always call upon you before I go to the brewery.
Yes, let us know when your preparations are complete.
Thank you. I will. So he trundles off toward the cart, way over there.
Yeah, of course, he leans over and says in a stage whisper, "Who the bloody hell is that?"
Flint, we need to have the scouts who come back. They should kind of spread the word about what happens if they listen to this guy and let their greed get the better of them and go off with him and, you know, it doesn't turn out well. I think that should be a lesson to any others who would listen to this surface dwarf, and he may try to do something like that again.
He's from the surface leech?
Obviously.
I'll have
that explains a lot of things.
Yes.
Yes, strange offers from strange dwarves should be taken with a large flagon.
Oh, before I forget, I should give you... Do you have your maps? Basically, Scully would be the best one, but poor Scully.
Yes, and you, what are you doing taking off with one of my men?
Oh, I didn't actually want to bring him. He decided to come along. He decided on his own to come along with us. I just needed a pointer which way to go, and he said he's going to show the way. So I took him on his offer.
What the girl's falsehood?
Did Scully literally defend himself?
No, he did. Remember? You don't remember? Yeah, Scully pretty much said he's.
You weren't actually allowed to go. Roar's orders. But you managed to convince Scully that it would be rewarding if he helped you out.
Yeah, I do have falsehood. Yeah, I'm still learning falsehood.
Well, do you mean to lie or are you just confused?
I'm confused because in my mind, Scully offered to assist and help and come along with us.
Okay. I'm just going to say yes to the other dwarves and say that this seems a bit odd. Clearly, Ulfkel is not really himself.
He's sober.
Yeah, for one.
If I know the good sergeant, he probably came along to make sure you didn't get yourself killed. That sounds more like it.
The thing is, if you get your maps, I can try to remember the way there, so we can at least find on the maps where it is, so we have a better idea how to approach it.
I think you could help them, mark the stuff down.
I have no map skill. I'm still learning tunnel wise. I actually would imagine with me closing my eyes and then resetting the route we took.
This would really be flavor, since you'd be able to remember. So should we cut off to Slate to possibly
yes.
Roar? I don't know if you want to make a direct attempt to impress him or convince him or what you would prefer.
I'd like to see whether or not he can be convinced first.
Okay. So how would you go about that?
I think...
What did you write in the belief?
Persuade him to trust me. So why don't I help him do something he's doing right now? I mean, what is he doing currently?
I would imagine he is looking over all of the patrols and guard posts, and he's probably chewing out... No, he's not. He's probably helping nurse the scouts back because he feels really guilty. That would be the case, yeah. So he's with the scouts that have just returned, coming back from his various rounds.
Okay, so I could bring him a drink and cart along my first aid supplies. Sort of make a big deal out of helping him and his scouts and just making sure everyone's okay, maybe actually get to talk to him.
All right. Well, you get somewhat a cold reception when you arrive. He seems a little preoccupied and busy and, you're not necessarily his favorite person. So how do you approach him?
Well, I'm going to approach him with
lead
a drink.
With beer.
Yeah. I'm going to approach him beer first.
What's this then?
It's a drink.
I can see that, but what's this about?
He just shoves it into his hands. I thought you could use a drink.
There's a moment of silence, and then he looks at it and says, maybe I do. Maybe I do. And then he, dips his nozzle deep in it.
You have any scouts that need looking at?
I think they're all more or less unscathed. You could have a look, of course, at... the one you freed from the rack. He has been moaning.
Moaning?
Moaning, yes, moaning. He's in pain. Do you have anything for the pain?
I've got something for the pain. Why don't you come along with me?
Well, he's right over there.
He's going to go right over there and kind of just wait for Roar to catch up. I hope I'm saying that name right again.
That's fine. Yeah, he comes trundling with a hand in his belt and the other on the tankard.
What can I do for this dwarf that was on the rack?
Well, you could ease his pain. That sounds like a herbalism test.
I think I'll do that. And obviously I'm making a big show of like acting like I know what I'm doing in front of him, if in front of Roar.
Aha. Okay. You know how we can do this? We could do a linked test. You could do the herbalism, and if you do well, that could increase your chances of course persuading him to see how valuable you are.
Okay.
You make a herbalism test to aid his man. And then if you do well, that will increase your chances on a follow-up test, say course persuasion, since you want to persuade him, right, that you're good people, if you wish. So let's do it that way. So let's see how you do with the herbalism. The guy you freed from Iraq he's stable, but he's the one that had the least water, the least food, and the one the goblins took out their sadistic pleasure on the most.
Oh, Jesus.
He's been cut on a little, and of course the rack, his all his tendons and ligaments and stuff are swollen and.
I only have three dice in herbalism, so I'm thinking of something I could fork in anatomy. No.
For a yeah.
Anatomy. Okay.
If I would be really nice, I'd let you fork it infection wise too.
Are you being really nice?
Fine. And let's see if you can discover any more forks that you can possibly use. It was touched upon earlier in the session when you wanted to treat the other dwarf.
Yeah, cure G, but well, soothing platitudes.
There you go.
Okay, so I have 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 dice.
The obstacle is going to be 3 if you want to do a good job and impress Roar and relieve the pain and some of the discomfort.
Okay. So 1, 2.
So you have 3 successes.
Yes, I do. I don't have any fate points, so I can't explode that 6.
Oh, okay. Well, there's no real cause to do it quickly or diligently or any other.
I have none. So. I have none. I couldn't do it if I wanted to.
All right, but that means you succeed. So you can take an advantage dice forward to course persuading Roar that, look what I did, right? So now that you've treated the hurt dwarf, you've probably bandaged his, ligaments with, herbal wraps, something.
Yeah, and gave him food and water. Obviously.
He's much better, and he thanks you in a weak way, but there's thanks at least. So yeah, Roar's standing there and looking down, and he looks vaguely relieved. He looks somewhat relieved. How do you go about this persuasion?
Well, obviously I'm going to stand up to him. And anybody else need my care?
I don't think so.
You?
Slurp, slurp. No, I'm fine. I don't need any more foot help.
Is there anything else I can do for you? It has been a long day. You got a lot of people to look over. Maybe I could lend you a hand.
Nothing that comes to mind, really. I really should get back to the patrolling, overseeing duties.
Well,
it's about to turn.
Yeah, wait a second. Do you want to borrow my pony? Getting around things a lot easier.
Is that a euphemism? Borrow what?
The pony. He has a pony.
I thought you borrowed that pony to, you loaned it out to, what's his face, Rory, so he wouldn't have to walk on his bum foot.
I did, but that was ages ago. I didn't know he still needed it.
It was ages ago in sessions, but it was like a day or two ago.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind on that one then. I got to think of something else I could give him.
I think you're being a little circumspect. What I mean is you're being maybe a little cagey and reserved. You have coarse persuasion, right? That's slapping people's backs and tugging their beards and going, look, it'll all turn out for the best.
Oh, okay. Well, then, walk right up and smack his back.
Whack!
Not like that.
All right. Oh, what do you say? Well, what kind of, what argument are you putting forth? That's a good one.
If nobody, I don't want to say it. I've got something in my head.
All right.
It sounds good on paper, but it probably sounds terrible in person.
Well,
if you aren't dead yet, it's not the end of the battle. if you aren't dead yet, you know, things will look up, you know, sort of thing.
Okay, that's a cool start. And why should he like you, besides the obvious fact? How can you use helping the dwarf to your advantage in the speeching part of this?
Okay, well,
you should just be obvious. Like, nail on the head.
I know what I'm doing. I can help all you right. and yours. It would be on your best interest? I don't know.
You know what? Maybe it's tough to really, really communicate with him since he's in a mood and that's why you're having trouble. And, you know, he threatened you and you considered blackmailing him back. So maybe that's why this is so incredibly awkward.
Yeah, probably.
Because I'm just thinking back to the moment where you just schooled Sled with his angry, you ruined my eye thing. No problems. But now when you're here, it's like, I'm, you know, But anyway,
player not knowing what to say rather than the character.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. That happens. But it sounded, in the beginning at least, like you're trying coarse persuasion, and the way you put things sounds totally like you're forking in soothing platitudes, like, you know, if you're not dead, still in the fight. Yeah. If you're not dead, you're not down, or whatever. So we can go to the test and see how things go, and take it from there.
Okay, so...
So that would be coarse persuasion.
That's E2. It's a 2. Yes.
And you got an advantage die for successfully treating his man?
So 3. Yes. And then 4 for soothing platitudes. And feel-wise, he wasn't really talking that much.
Well, you are attempting to sell the idea.
Yeah.
That you're useful, right?
Yeah.
So I'd allow that, yeah.
So 2, 3, 4, 5.
You know, I'm going to say he's in a vaguely... less than fantastic state. So I'm going to lower the obstacle from 5 to 4.
Jeez, I should have more dice to use.
You can add up to 3 persona points on any one test, and that will grant you 3 dice.
I'll throw 3 at it.
Okay, and since Arta does not count toward factoring the difficulty of tests, this counts as the 4 dice versus an obstacle of 4. So it's a difficult test, however you play it.
All right, so I have 8 dice.
Ooh.
1, 2.
You have 4. So, yeah, he visibly warms up a little. You think you even see the ghost of a smile beneath the beard and the froth from the beer. And I think, you know, he puts his hand on your shoulder and says something to the tune of, it's good you're with us. Good you're with us. And then he slurps up the last of the beer, gives you the tankard, and wanders off.
Okay, that's about as much as I'm going to be able to do. I can't cross that one off yet.
I'd say you succeeded, after a fashion. What's the exact belief again?
Persuade for to /trust me.
Well,
he
maybe not
hate you.
Trust implicitly, but yeah, I'd say you'd shave that off.
Okay, I can shave that off.
So, yeah, he wanders off, and you're left there with the scouts. Is there anything else you'd like to do, or would you like to just go back to your usual duties?
There's some strange dwarf over by Froar.
Oh yeah, you can talk about that.
Yeah, I was thinking about going to introduce myself.
Okay, well, let's have that. Mm-hmm. So you're over by the wagon, or you go there, I guess.
Yeah, give the tankard back to Ulfkill, obviously.
To an apprentice, you know, because Ulfkill's over gesticulating right now by the prince.
You see this odd-looking dwarf with what looks like human-style, slightly odd clothes in garish colors. He has either tattoos or, like, elaborate henna-style paint on his arms and parts of his face. He has eye makeup of a kind, and he looks a bit on the grungy side. And he's standing near the wagon and sort of looking intently at the burn victim, Froar. One of his hands is sort of, it seems like he's not even aware of what he's doing when he's standing there, but one of his hands is sort of going up and down, and his fingers are moving sort of like spider legs.
Okay, so my first... concern is for my patient, obviously. I'm going to march right up there and go, what are you doing?
I'm sorry. I'm just seeing that scene from Fear and Loathing where they rent a car and the car rental agent's like, "God damn hippies!" Sorry. What are you doing? He snaps back to sort of the present and says, "Oh, I did not see you come up there. Are you the one who treated this one?"
"Yes."
"I see. Well done. I have not seen much finer surgeon work anywhere, really. And I have been to some places on the surface, let me tell you."
This kind of
interesting
gives him a quirked brow because it's like he heard on the surface. Like, okay,
yeah.
But I'm not going to say anything. I don't want to be rude. So he's going to do a real quick visual check, make sure he didn't do anything strange to his patient.
He has not touched him.
Okay. Just hold out his hand. Name's Slate.
He holds out his and he says, "Mine is Torir."
Take it you know him?
"Oh, your patient."
"Mm-hmm."
No. "I'm a new arrival here in the dark. But your prince, I assume he is your prince as well. Well, he asked me to have to look into some of the spirit activities. And I thought, well, why not look at one of the spirit's victims? There may be traces or other interesting things about him."
He's probably going to get flack from this, but this actually intrigues Slade. No one. I assume he's probably heard people are talking about the ghost lady, this, that, and the other thing.
Yeah, you've heard like crazy rumors, and you were there.
Yeah, crazy rumors.
Old like, Kel, when he was raving about the evil spirit.
When you're busy stitching him up and fixing his face, he's busy blathering all about the evil elf ghost spirit.
Yeah, he's made his own judgments about that, but kind of blinks and goes, "Wait a minute, explosive fiery ghost lady is real?"
"This is what I hear, and I see burns on this dwarf. Unless your master brewer decided to burn his own apprentices, and that seems unlikely based on his disposition."
Details.
"Well, now you have them."
"So, what do you think you could do about this fiery lady?"
"Well, we shall see. Would you mind terribly to aid me in a slight bit of interrogation?"
"Depends on what it is."
"Well, I would need the help of your patient here, but it appears he is senseless at present. I can possibly call or make him recall a little bit." "No, I would rather hope you would help prevent him hurting himself. I see he's restrained, but perhaps you could hold him?"
"I could do that."
"All right, then." Then he bids you climb up and hold the dwarf, and he climbs up into the wagon as well, and he digs into a little pouch, and he fishes out what looks like dried mushrooms, and he motions to stuff them down your patient's mouth.
"Okay. Is there a better way to do that?" "Since he's unconscious and may choke."
"This is really the way. If you object, I could find other avenues of investigation."
He doesn't trust that other avenues.
Suppository?
Just gonna let him do it and just keep a very close watch on him.
Right. Since you have to run, I'm just gonna take this in brief. So he stuffs the dried mushrooms down Froar's mouth, and he claps his hand tightly over the mouth, and he makes some, to your mind, nonsense motions, and then slaps him on the forehead. And the moment he does that, Froar's eyes shoot open, but they're all sort of rolled back into his head. And he starts to sort of and starts to thrash, but you manage to keep him still. Torr leans close with like his ear close to his fist where he's holding Froar's mouth. And he's sort of nodding to himself like, "Yes, yes, yeah, ah, yes, yes, ah. Go back to sleep, go back to sleep, go back to sleep." And he slaps his face again. And Froar stops thrashing. You narrowly assure that he's not, you know, tearing his bandages off or something. But
yeah,
it's on the hair there. And then Tori climbs down and says, "Well, that was informative. Thank you for your assistance, Slate."
"You're welcome. Not entirely sure what I did, but you're welcome."
"Did all you had to do. Now, I have to see about some business. So, thank you for your assistance again. And if we meet again, wonderful." He turns away.
That is one cool dwarf.
cool dwarf. I was sure you were going to say, that is one weird dwarf.
No. Actually, that's a character, too. It's like, I'm interested now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So, I guess we could, we should address some of your other beliefs here. I've really been hammering is the wrong word, but we were seeing to Slate's beliefs, and I should remind me that we should reward Slate 2 persona points for achieving the Burn Dwarf and all that. Let's see. And Flint, I think you've pursued a bit of information on the Goddam family, but you haven't really pressed the issue when Ulfkill mentioned the spirit didn't like you very much, or your family at least.
Don't know if there's enough to press.
And just imagine how she reacted badly to the ring. Just imagine how badly she reacted to an actual Goddam.
I'm not particularly thrilled to meet the spirit.
Does that mean you're not going to be part of the...
But you have to come.
Of course, it is in your beliefs, so you should obviously come.
Because if you can talk to her, you can find out why she doesn't like your family.
There's this phrase that's in the Goddam family. It's known as playing with fire. In this case, literally.
But we might need a distraction. And you're perfect.
Yeah.
I see, and I'm the tastiest one.
You know, Fandral, all you have to do is give Flint a task. And he pretty much has to do it because that's his beliefs and instincts. Flint, distract him. Or her. Well, I don't know if we want to cut forward a bit to after the surfacer has had a bit of privacy.
I guess we can, just let me say this time, I describe as much as I can of the area around the brewery. Maybe more than one entrance to it, but we only found the one.
Perhaps the brewery that's on fire. That would be a good landmark.
The entrance collapsed.
Yeesh, I forgot that. Okay, yes, it did.
Well, maybe prepare some nice, some wet blankets that we can throw over people if they're on fire.
My liege,
that's a good point.
She makes wet things burn.
You did put out the fire on Thor's leg at one point, so it's possible to douse it.
Smother it, at least, maybe.
I don't think a bucket of sand would be out of place.
So, blankets, maybe sand or gravel or something to smother fire. And what else do you do? How do you go about going to this brewery, if that is what you're doing?
Well, that's what we were doing before. I was just describing the way to make to it, and then we're looking at the maps to see where it is, and maybe the maps might show another way into it. I mean, if it is a brewery, it has a source of water, and they found a source of water, so maybe maybe going back down those tunnels, coming up into the brewery that way.
Okay, that was the other way in my mind, but
also there's that well they fell down into. That well probably was somewhere near where the brewery was, so that they may all be part of the same system.
That I can believe. They're part of the same cave system, but yeah.
I'm sure a little detective work and scouting will help.
I'm trying to get at how would you like to go about finding your way to the brewery? Would you prefer to have a team dig out the collapsed entrance?
Oh.
Would you prefer to find a secondary entrance?
Yeah, we want to make sure we get all the entrances and exits from the place.
I've been in several breweries. I could probably suss out, at least on the map, if the map shows the brewery where it was, where things would be in most breweries, to have an idea where other entrances may have been. That would be a beer wise thing, wouldn't it?
No,
it'd be a brewery. Well, brewery wise, but I don't know. It'd be really,
If I'm gathering this correctly, you would like to use brewing to figure out if there are secondary entrances and how many.
Yeah. So can I fork in Cooperage, Cooper?
Why not?
At least give me four dice.
This would be a graduated test, just to figure out
how much. One.
So I guess the Opal breweries don't follow traditional dwarven architecture.
they're a couple hundred years old, so, you know, or at least how old Fandral is.
Probably older than Fandral. With one success, I think you can figure out that they would definitely have more than one entrance. Where exactly it would be would depend a little on where the outlying forges and coopers and such were situated. So you could make a better guess once you get there. But there's certainly more than one entrance. The main front one is collapsed, as previously mentioned.
Yeah. So what kind of test would that be? Just a routine test then? Or?
Yes. Routine brewing.
Anyway, point things out on the map and sort of, you know, well, this is my, I think there may be an interest here. This, there may be a well there. I really did not get a good look of the lay of the brewery. It was dark and then it was on fire.
We'll have to scout it when we get there.
Yep. Things you need to do then is to scout it, and then if you want to open up the fallen down entrance, that's the fallen in, the collapsed entrance, you'd have to excavate it.
That's too much work and about zero stealth.
With the possibility of a vengeful spirit attacking, we're probably not going to be there digging out entrances. We'll be looking for all the other entrances and exits.
You know, let's make this a linky link test. So Ulfkjell succeeded in his brewing test to figure out if there are more entrances. Let's see if our tunnel-wise, hold-wise, Flint can locate one or more.
We'll certainly give it a try.
You're getting an advantage die for Ulfkjell's success.
Do I help with cartography?
Yes, you could totally help.
In that case, that sounds like I have 6 dice. 3 plus the advantage die, plus forking in history and tunneling, plus assistance
history,
from the
where do you
print.
Get history?
Well, see, how can I do this? Okay, the reason why Ulfkjell didn't have much luck with this is because this is an old design. They don't follow the new and modern dwarven brewery designs. So you have to know a little bit of clan history and how things were organized back in the day.
Maybe reaching, but I'm feeling generous, so yeah.
We'll work with generous. Generous has its place. Well, nope, that's 3. 3 successes, that's a nice even split then.
Yes, that's all you need. Taking this in sort of fast forward mode, I imagine you might take Ty or Frumi or someone else with you and you consult the maps.
Down the Fandle. Side street, that's where the wagons would have been.
Yeah.
That's where your entrance is going to be.
Yeah, so I would imagine this little like montage where you know, Fandle shows you the maps and you go into the underway ahead, right? And you scout out and you notice, you know, side passages and you know, maybe a service tunnel of sorts from the coopery directly into the brewery.
That'll work.
Oh, and that was a routine, of course.
I know my way around these dwarven cities.
You've been running around them for quite a while. So here's a question. How many dwarves do you take? Is it just a handful of you? Or
well, we
this would be a fanful question, I guess.
Yeah, we definitely will have Thorir, or how you pronounce his name.
Thorir. You can say Thorir.
Thorir.
I'm going to say Thorir. He uses the same runes as you do. It's just that he pronounces them differently.
Couple axe bearers and a couple scouts.
I actually would prefer just to take Ty, since all the other scouts need their rest and recovery. And Ty, yeah, he excels at running, so.
Good point. You guys are the two, I guess, who would discover sure. The service tunnel and that, and you can double back to the rest of the axe bearers and Fandral and Ulfkjell and the dwarf, the surfacer. So I guess you have a little council outside the brewery.
Or no, the cooperage. Cause that's
in the cooperage, possibly, yeah. Yeah.
Is this place in the same state as the brewery?
It's been cleaned out. You know, whoever ran it seems to have taken whatever they could with them.
The only thing left would be the fire pit for firing the barrels and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah, wow. It's like a little ghost place, vaguely echoey.
All right, so, Tor, do you need anything from us?
Well, I could go about treating with the spirit, and that would possibly be best to do alone, unless someone has a bright idea or an inspiration or some...
Treat with it? I thought we were going to destroy it.
Well, let's see if we need to first. You mentioned that it warmed...
She killed one of my people. She killed Scully, or... I don't know if she's...
I'm not dead yet.
We did give him persona to keep him alive.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. When you were scouting around, Flint, you didn't see any sign of Scully, did you?
Someone screaming in pain, abject pain, or well, in this case, maybe just sitting there drooling as he drinks from the cup.
Well, Ulfkjell, consider this my kind of scouting. And if it needs to happen, then... surely we'll find a way to get rid of it. good enough.
I think that's overkill for yes.
All right, then. I will see if I can find this amulet of yours, of your story. And I suppose if you hear screaming, it will either be too late or I'll be coming down this tunnel at a frightful pace.
We'll listen for the screams.
Mountain dwarves are so dour.
Not enough sunshine.
Yeah.
I will point out that so far, Ufkel has not had a drink.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm doing the inverse of my instinct.
You don't appear to be suffering much for it.
Yet.
Not yet.
Yet, yeah. Okay, so Torrid sweeps his mantle about him, and then he walks down the corridor into the brewery.
Fandral will follow, keeping him just in sight.
Okay. Anyone else following?
Two may cooks spoil the broth, but I will stand near the entrance of the tunnel just to listen.
I'll be at the prince's side. I actually know something about being stealthy.
I'll say yes to that. You know, you can probably keep yourselves quiet, especially with Flint there to sort of...
I'll make sure I have one of the blankets for smothering any flames with me.
All right. You see the surfacer walk into the brewery, and he looks around. It's not burning. It's very dark. It's a little different. Okay, none of you were there, so I shouldn't say different. Mm-hmm. There's a strong, pungent kind of smell, though, of burning. There's mm-hmm. this thin mist crawling about this rack of former brewing equipment.
Not a hint of Nog?
No, in fact, not.
Ooh, interesting. Maybe she found a vessel.
It's this vast, like, space where clearly a whole lot of brewing on a massive scale took place at one point. He paces around and kicks the dirt a little, and then you hear an echoey voice in the distance. He hears it too, and he whirls about and peers into the half light. You see this very sooty figure shambling out of a corner of this vast space, addressing the surface dwarf with a very raspy voice. You can't make out at all what he's saying. The surfacer answers. They have a short little back and forth.
Can't make out any of it.
Hmm.
That would Good be point. A perception or a observation?
Yeah. Let's make it an ob 4 perception to make it something coherent, to really strain your ears. You can help each other.
Really?
Did he say turd or did he say word?
Yeah, something like that. Like, totally.
Well, let's see. I am unskilled at observation, so that's not...
No. This is a pure perception test. Perception. You're not trying to find anyone who's hiding. You're just trying to listen to see, hear the words.
I'll help.
Does that give me 2 extra? Nice.
Yes.
A perception of 5, yes. I've got keen ears.
What's the obstacle?
4. A lot of 8s versus 4s today, or a few anyway.
Oh.
Yay!
That's 4. So you strain your ears and you hear Torir say, "Are you one of Ulfkel's dwarves?" And you hear this sort of raspy affirmation, you think, from the sooty figure. Torir bids him identify himself. There's just an exhalation, a dusty kind of exhalation, and then the figure crumples. Torrid warily moves over to him and sort of pokes him with his toe, leans down, and appears to be sort of brushing soot away from his features. He looks at him for a little while, and then he looks around as if that's not what he was looking for, and he leaves the figure. Starts walking around again and searching for something on the ground. Picks a few things up, throws them away. And then it seems he found something glittering, gleaming, strangely untouched by soot or anything. Appears to be some kind of pendant, if your eyes are not deceiving you. He pockets that.
At any point, is it possible to fetch the sooty figure without, you know, is there a break between line of sight between... the surfacer.
You can totally stealthy inside there and have a peek if you want, or drag attempt to drag the figure out if that's what you.
Well,
intend.
We first thing is to ascertain, did he fall over dead or did he just pass out? So
well, he said crumpled. So that could also mean that you get there, it's a pile of bone, burnt bones.
Was it a dwarf shaped?
Sure, it could be a dwarf shape. Yeah.
Well, there was an affirmation that it was one of ours. So I'm going to assume that in the panic with Ufkel that he lost someone.
And oh, he did. Kaim, unless Kaim.
Kaim and Skoli.
Skoli.
Yeah. Were trapped inside both.
Well,
Kaim was certainly burned to death.
According to Ufkel.
Yes.
So with the approval of the prince, we'll sneak on over and see if we can ascertain who this is and what their stats is.
I think I'll put my hand on his shoulder and go point at his ring there. He's like, maybe you're not the person for this.
Sir, but he's one of ours.
And we'll get him. Let's wait a minute, see if anything else happens.
Yes, sir.
See if a Torr finds the chalice of the palace.
I believe that's the chalice with the malice.
Yeah. With the brew that's impure.
After about a minute, Torr starts to return toward the tunnel.
Well, we can either retreat and wait for him back with Ufkel, or we can stand up and pretend we're walking towards him, saying, like, you've been gone a while. Are you okay?
Don't know that I want Flint to go too far in there.
Okay.
Well, let's retreat back to Ufkel then, before he catches up with us.
So he comes out of the brewery, and his fingers are a little sootier than before, but he doesn't look disturbed or distraught or anything like that. He fishes out the opal necklace.
Aye, that's it.
Which is strangely untouched by flame or soot or anything.
Oh, not without any screaming. I'm impressed.
Did you find them? Did you find Skoli and Kaim?
I would not be terribly impressed myself. I would say the spirit is gone from here. I did not find any traces of it at all.
Did you find did you find both bodies?
Both bodies?
It wanted us to drink from the chalice. I think
I did
we
not
may
see
have
a chalice. I did see perhaps a body that is perhaps one of yours.
Did you perchance happen to see a battle axe?
I did not look for one, but it is wreckage in there. It could be buried in all the filth.
Well, if the spirit's gone, then we should recover our comrade.
But
I think we should be safe.
The chalice is gone, and you found a body?
Well, we're already on the way down there, so while you're talking with him, we're going down.
Yeah, I'm going. I'll push right past the prince and just hit on in.
Oh, now the spirit's gone. Look who's so brave.
Yeah.
She was there. I didn't want to. I didn't want her to go, aha, and then start attacking us. I guess I get to the body first then, and then look down and look at it. Is it bones, or is it a burnt body, or what?
If you start looking around, it's just a mess, unless someone points.
You know, I will look over here and direct to coincidentally look right where we saw the figure collapse.
Yeah, I go there and look at it, and what do I see?
You see a sooty, messy heap of a dwarf who's been clearly engulfed. There's just a sooty tatter of a cloak, blackened armor. And the face has been more or less spared, and it's been dusted of some of the soot, clearly. And it seems to be Skoli.
Skoli.
You're not sure if he's alive or not.
I put my head to my ear to his chest and listen. Do I hear anything?
No, I do not hear anything.
Get my knees and put this head on his chest and, no, not Skoli.
Let's get him back to Slate.
And then he rattles to life. It's like this sort of horrible, deep, rattling, phlegmy cough that just rolls out of him in a series. And he's sort of tossing under you.
I do the most inappropriate thing for a person who's been injured. I grab a hold of him and hug him. Oh, you're alive!
Get off him, Wolfgang. Get off him. You've been through enough.
Oh, sorry. Over here.
All right, the axe bearers come rushing.
Rig up a litter and put him on that and carry him out.
All right.
I had my hammer out and said, well, you didn't find it? Start looking and I just start smashing the thing apart. I'm looking to see if I can find the damn chalice. I have a vague idea where it was.
Yeah. You're on a mission, so that's no worries. It's in a corner, in some soot, the remnants of some crates. It's sullied from its fall and such, but it appears otherwise untouched, unmelted, anything like that.
My hammer is upraised, and then I stop, and I just hiss and pull back. Literally, hiss and pull back. It's here! The fell thing is here!
Are you sure you want to invite the greed of the dwarves?
Think for a second. I stop. No, I turn to the hippie dwarf. I turn to the thrower. You come here.
All right. He waltzes us over. Okay, so you don't scream. You know, here it is.
Yeah. I actually yell at him. You know, you come here.
Okay. So he saunters over.
I point to it. Is that thing escorceled? Then I step back and hold my hammer ready to beat him into the ground if he gets enchanted.
Okay, well, he bends near it and gives it a sort of flick with his middle finger, and it gives off a sort of almost silly, unreal musical note.
Mm.
He says, I couldn't say. Perhaps it is and perhaps it isn't. We should probably take it with us, don't you think?
Don't touch it.
Fandral's over there. Yeah.
All right, okay. Yeah, they're standing there and they're bent over and so forth.
Assuming I don't have to make any sort of steel test.
You don't care one whit for craftsmanship. It's pretty, but it's not that pretty.
All right.
It's dented, too.
Yeah, it's sullied and it's not actually dented. Or did I say that last session or something?
No, it'd be better if it's not dented, because it means it healed itself.
I believe we should leave well enough alone. This stupid thing has cost us enough.
I say I set my forges up and melt it down into gold, melt it down to its base metal.
Well, my prince says, Porir, perhaps I could glean some useful information from it. It seemed to be the source of this spirit's, well, power, or whatever you want to call it.
I don't want that thing coming back to my camp.
Very well, then.
There's forges here, my liege. We could probably melt it down here in one of the forges around here.
Oh, that's good. Did you bring a bushel of coal with you?
We don't have time for that. Maybe this is a future mission.
While they're talking about this here, Chalice, mm-hmm. Flint is scouting about, seeing if he can find that wayward axe.
And Kime's body, too, if it
Oh, yeah, if I stumble across that.
Sure, you find some still smoking charred bones. Ooh. And what seems to be melted belt buckles and such.
That got hot.
I don't think Slate can do anything with this one.
Collect his remains for proper burial.
That's not pleasant. But, yeah, we could take one of our fire blankets and scoop everything into that and make a bundle. Where's Kim? Point. What's left of him? And what about that axe? The one.
Yeah, I was going to ask. That sounds like a perception test.
Sure, we can do that. Shouldn't be that.
You know exactly what you're looking for, too, so just make it a two.
It's two fives and three ones, so I guess that's a success.
You do find a badly burnt haft and the axe head, which is sooty, but otherwise fine.
It's fixable.
So I'm just watching Thor do whatever he is, to sort of glean wherever he can from. But I think once he's done, I'm going to start making.
The prince said we should leave it. So
he's going to leave.
He's not actually doing anything to it. He's just stepping away.
I didn't want it back in my camp. If he wants to do something with it here, okay.
That doesn't appear the way he took it. He's stepping away.
If it's such an evil hazard, maybe we should bury it or something?
I was thinking there's plenty of loose stone from the fall. We can probably at least build a cairn around it so inspecting others, 15 dwarves won't run into it.
Unless that invites investigation. Yeah.
I wasn't thinking of building a little monument to the thing. I just said buried and forgotten is actually what I was planning on.
You know the lore. Cursed things are never lost. They always get found again. No matter what we do, someone will find it.
That's what the songs say.
Anyway. Make it quick.
That's their problem, though.
Okay. Well, you can always scoop some soot and debris over it. That's fine.
A half-assed job, if you ask me. Oh, I believe this burnt husk of an axe is yours. You'll need a little maintenance.
Well, I do have black metal artificer, and I have a carpentry, so I can probably make a new half for it.
Yeah, no worries.
Actually, I probably should roll those, so I actually get some skill, get some test on those things.
Later. Says, hold up a bundle. Says, like, unfortunately, Kim did not make it.
Yeah, I go over and pick up and this.
Did you put him in a sack?
I put the remains in a blanket and then close it. Oh,
okay.
Kill takes it and just sort of cradles a bundle and, you know, I gotta check him.
Yeah, Flint kind of like shies away from that. He's like, I don't think he can hear you.
Well, Tor, is there anything else you can learn here?
Well, I could perhaps take a look at the chalice, but it seems your friend Ulfkill here is a bit paranoid about it.
Well, what about the amulet? If it has such purported properties, maybe there's something special about it.
Well, it's something I think you would know better than I. I'm not well versed in your mountain craftsmanship.
Well, I do happen to know a thing or two about stuff.
Could be a clan history thing, too.
Yeah. Well, hey, let's just throw down dice, because, you know, it never hurts to throw down dice.
Yeah. So what do you want to know? What do you want to figure out?
Maybe a little bit of history behind the Opal Brewery. Well, the fact that there's elves involved is just making my teeth itch.
It's untouched, so that almost sounds like either it's your high dwarf magic or it's elf magic, one or the other.
Yeah, and certainly we've ran across a lot of strange runes lately, so there may be some relationship there.
If you want to know specifically about the necklace, you could go for stuff-wise. If you want to know more about the brewery and you know, histories surrounding it, that would be maybe clan history or ancient history. Or
I'd like to go with clan history and throw in just a touch of stuff-wise about the specific item and its relationship to the history of this place.
All right, I can buy that.
I'll help with history.
Okay. Thank you, because I think I'm going to need an extra die, unless I can throw a fate at this.
Did I specify a...
No, I like rolling before you specify an obstacle, because that complicates things.
He's a premature roller.
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Bam, there's the dice.
I would say this is an ob 4.
Yeah, well, we'll throw a fate because we're not doing well here.
Okay, I see 2 successes.
Yes. And they just go downhill from there. It's pretty. Yeah, it is really pretty.
Is pretty looking.
I think it's just because I don't know ship from Shinola on this one. I think it's just symbolic of the Opal Brewery itself. The mystery is probably behind what the spirit's relationship is to the brewery, as opposed to this symbol.
Sounds like an excellent theory.
Oh, well. Yeah, and then everything kind of went to hell in a handbasket.
Yeah, whether this has any relation to that is
casually... Elves don't like us and are willing to come back from the grave to express that. I think,
to be fair, you've only met one living elf so far.
Yes, but I've met 2 dead ones, or we as a company have met 2 dead ones. So right now they outvote the living.
They do have some kind of axe to grind against you, clearly. But that seems to be specific, right? Or so they claim. One had no trouble with an opal symbol, but hated a Gotterdam symbol. The other was clearly ill-disposed toward Fandral, but totally fine with Flint.
Yeah, so they're fickle. Yeah, tell me something new about elves.
It just meant that the relationships back then were complicated.
Yeah, and I'm sure being dead hasn't helped any.
However, you don't glean any directly useful information about the necklace or its relation to the brewery or the opals. It's a fine necklace.
Yep. Totally untouched with soot and fire. Does it actually have a large opal in the center?
Why not? That sounds cool.
It has a fire opal in the center.
If no one takes it out of his hands, Flint will hold on to it.
You can do that.
Well, I can't. My arms are full of chyme.
Fair enough. We each have our own treasures.
All right. Well, Tor clearly says that, you know, unless you want me to poke the chalice, there's really nothing to see here. The spirit seems to be gone. Perhaps it burned itself out.
You're welcome to investigate the chalice. I would not like to have that done in the middle of our camp.
Well, then I shall do so.
I wouldn't touch it with your bare skin.
It's a little too late for that. You remember he dinged it.
I figured because he's some sort of mage, like maybe he's got immunity or something.
You're starting to believe his BS, aren't you? Look at the markings on his skin. It's got
look at the bones.
Well, yeah, you can do that too.
All right. Well, he bends close in that case and sort of sifts it out of its bed and looks it over and smells it and licks it.
Ooh, he's really big at that.
He's not that different than Ufkel, I guess.
Indeed.
You definitely hear bones creaking when it's not from and it's not and the bones in Ufkel's hands. When I see him doing that,
As I stated earlier, if dwarves can't brew it, they'll eat it. They taste everything.
He does a number of things, like weird stuff. Like he takes a handful of soot and he smears it around its rim and peers at it mystically and stuff. But at length, he just stands up and lets it fall to the ground.
It makes that strange musical note when it hits the ground, right?
Oh, yes, of course. It totally sounds much heavier than it is. That is, from what I can tell, simply a chalice.
I turn to one of the ex-bearers and hand him the body, take out my hammer, and I will smash that thing flat.
It deforms under your hammer quite handily.
The look in Wolfkill's eyes right now, no one wants to get anywhere near him. He's not just deforming it. He is pounding it into the stone floor.
A little
faster each time, with each blow.
That's a shame,
says Corey.
Let's get back to camp then, if there's nothing more we can do here.
Yeah.
Damn thing, damn, bam.
No, it's dead.
He'll find his way when he's tired.
It won't take long.
Just a second.
I imagine you're entirely sweaty and sooty and, your hair is on end and your beard is full of spittle.
and one more thing. He sort of stands back. You see him just lift up his cloak a little bit, and all of a sudden a yellow stream comes out.
Yeah. Full desecration. can't complete the ritual without that, right?
Then he spits on it, walks away, and if I come back here and that thing's back in shape, I will burn this place to the ground and collapse this room.
All right, so I think for today that's where we leave you guys.
Other than when he gets back, he goes on a monumental bender.
Yay! Got him back.
It's part of the wake for Kime.
So, as previously stated, Slate should have two persona for his for completing his beliefs. Let's go to your beliefs. Start with Fandral. You did, in fact, find Scully or his remains. So that is a persona point. I'd say you observed whether or not the dwarf ally could deal with a vengeful spirit. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But it's certainly a fate point. I'd say that. No ways into Scoria yet.
No.
Flint
did Jack. Didn't help the ghost problem, didn't help the door problem, didn't find much out about the Goddardams. If anything, Flint just gained frustration points.
Well, I'd say you'd earned a fate for helping here and there. I mean, Fandral was out to solve the ghost problem and you were there and you helped him with the perception tests and so forth and you scouted as, paths.
Fair enough.
Maybe you didn't solve it, but fate, certainly. Okay, you didn't really scrounge or dig for any additional Goddardam family. Well, maybe you did, actually. I should have warned you of fate for that. You attempted clan history to see about the Opal stuff and how that might have related.
Yes, failure is its own reward.
Failure or, one step further ahead on the path. I wouldn't say Ulfkel necessarily got revenge for his apprentices. He did certainly try, and that's worth a fate.
All right.
At least he's relieved.
Yeah.
Yeah, in more than one ways, yes.
And I thought it was amusing that you played to your impulsiveness trait when you tweaked Tora's nose, so take a fate for that.
Ah, all right.
And why not? Let's give all of you a persona embodiment award.
Yay.
I'm feeling generous once now that I'm finally back to gaming.
Yay, generosity.
Yay.
Take it while you can before he wakes up. No.
So that's three persona for Slate when Eri returns.
Oh, yes.
So workhorse and MVP people. Someone who had a certain piece of gear to make a scene work, or a skill to get the other characters safely through danger, or just generally slaving away behind the scenes to make it all work.
Pulled down a good bit of spotlight time and was actually influential in people's behaviors and health. So I'll throw Slate a vote.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
Okay. So one more persona for Slate, then. So four all
total. Yeah.
Huzzah! So who needs fate when you have persona, right?
Doesn't help you jack when you have sixes. And do you feel anyone was a most valuable player? Drove the story to its conclusion?
I would say this is more of a in-betweener episode rather than something pivotal.
Pivotal?
Thank you.
Well, you can do that. I can't do that. So...
It's good to have a skill, I guess.
And I guess I'm keeping my deeds to myself until you...
Unless we want to give MVP to our Surfacer Dwarf, since he did a lot of skullduggery and mysticism and mumbo-jumbo and managed to convince that he's actually legit.
No, if you want to be generous that way, I'm not going to stop you.
Nah.
Sure.
I don't know that I haven't seen him actually do anything yet, so I'm not convinced.
That seems to be two against one, so no.
Yeah, I mean, right now, so he's pretty much Cheech Wizard, then he is a real wizard or whatever.
The ability to foist that upon the prince and Ulfkel, I think, is actually commendable, because his mumbo-jumbo, apparently, he's been able to sell that to you two, even though you're both giving him negatives.
Us three. He also sold to Slate.
Okay.
Okay, I'd say maybe Slate and maybe Ulfkel, maybe, but I'm not sure if Fandral showed any direct indications of really believing anything he did.
Well, it depends. Let's out of character, let's ask the prince here. Did you give him the spirit-solving mission because you wanted the spirit solved, or to get rid of him?
How are we asking the prince out of character?
His belief is clearly, I will see, i.e. determine, if the new Surfacer Dwarf ally can deal with the vengeful spirit. So it was an evaluation.
So it's
a cagey way of getting rid of a spirit while seeing if he's true, right?
Throw him at the spirit, see who wins.
It's a win-win situation. Well, looks like he was a fake.
Oh, no, now it's after us. Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, if you can do that scream, you definitely have to get the Wilhelm scream.
I'm so tired of that. It's so overused. It's a fine scream, but it's a little all over.
It's a signature now. Anywho, huzzah! Mystery wandered. Solved is a little strong. I am... The ever skeptical Flint is going like, well, the spirit just didn't say, well, I'm done. I barbecued a dwarf. I'm happy. Curse solved. Gone on to the afterlife. He doesn't buy that for a sec. These elven spirits like to hang around.
Yeah, the fact that Scully's still alive, I mean, yes, he's glad Scully's alive, but he also, you will see that every so often, Ulfkel will just give Scully this sideways look. Like he's just staring at him, wondering, is she in him?
Ah, yes, finally. Paranoia within the expedition. I hope this was all right. I felt maybe we had a slow restart, right?
Well, it's basically, you got to grease the wheels before we get up to speed by taking this mystery and clearing it up. We could focus on more important stuff, like Flint's beliefs.
Now Ulfkel's wondering, reopen the breweries, and there's Opal, and I'm going to burn that place down. What's Black Rock like?
Oh, shit. I didn't realize I was kind of hitting that. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Your characters are so ensconced in the narrative now that I didn't even realize I was teasing that belief. Like, are you sure you want to reopen the breweries or not?
Is it Black? Was it Black Rock or what was it?
This was the Opal. The other was Blackstone.
Blackstone, yes. What the Blackstone breweries like? We may have to go back to Morrow and get a couple priests and do an exorcism.
Right. I don't think that was part of the original plan.
It wouldn't hurt. Or a blessing, one or the other.
Blessing, I can see. Bless this brew and may it continue to flow for many centuries. Thank you very much. And I think it is time to skedaddle.
Yeah. Yep.
Cool.
Catch y'all later.
Yeah, our podcasts are only like about an hour and a half long, aren't they?
Yeah, but you have
to get rid of an hour and a half of crap.
Delightful banter.
Send all complaints and other feedback at sunnyskypers@zoho.com. That's ZOHO.com or ZOHO.com if you prefer. Or come by the forums, sunnyskypers.freeforums.org. Or yell at us at whatever forum you may come across us on.